Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memor Avram Gold. All right, and today Mezechus Baba Basra Daf Lamed Gimel, the third parak Cheskas Abatim. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, Rabbi Bar Sharshan possessed the mashkon, which entitled him to its produce for a number of years to collect a debt. After the borrower died, a rumor emerged that the mashkon's term was over. Yet he continued using the orphan's mashkon. He explained to Abai that the father owed him an additional debt, and he realized that if he would return the mashkon, he would have to swear to collect the second debt, like any collection from Yosomi. To avoid the shavu, he decided to hide the shtar of the mashkon and consume its produce until his debt was paid. Demigu de ibeina, for since if I had wanted to lie, aminu lekuchi biyadim ehemna, I could say I bought the land from their father, and I would be believed since I use the property for enough years to establish a chazaka. Ki amina de iskri zuzika baichut mehemnana. Therefore, if I say that you owe me money, I'll also be believed without requiring a shavu. Abai responded that since the land was rumored to belong to the Yosomim, he could not have claimed he bought it since he should have retained the shtar, and his migu is faulty. Point number two, a relative of Ravidi Bar Avin died and left a date palm. Ravidi said he was the closest relative and inherited the palm, but another man claimed he was the closest relative. Neither proved his claim, and the second person took control of the tree. Eventually, he admitted that Ravidi was the closer relative, and Rav Chisa put the tree in Ravidi's possession. Ravidi asked that the man should also return all the produce he had consumed until then. Rav Chisa said, "Zeu she'omim lev adam gadolu. This is the one about whom they say he's a great man. Aman kasamech mar, on whom does master base his right to the tree? Ahai, on this man who now admitted the tree is Rav Avin's? Hakamar dan makravnitve. But he claimed until now I'm the closer relative. His admission that you're the owner is considered like a mere gift and does not dictate the return of former produce." Abai and Ravi disagreed. Kevin de ode ode. Once he admitted that the tree is Ravidi's, he has admitted by extension that all the produce was also his and must return it. And point number three, an occupant brought witnesses to establish a chazaka, but they only testified that he ate the land's produce for 2 years. Nachman ruled, Hadra Arava Hadre Peri. The land returns to the former owner, and the produce also returns. Since the chazak was not established, and we assume the land still belongs to its former owner, it emerges that the occupant consumed 2 years of produce, which was in his. Ravzvid said that if the occupant would have claimed Leperos Yeradati, I went down to the field to consume its produce because I was entitled to it, meaning he purchased it, he is believed. This is based on Rav Yudah's ruling that if one takes harvesting tools and declares he's going to harvest someone's dates because he bought them, he's bullied because a person is not so brazen as to harvest a palm which isn't his. This is ineffective when claiming he purchased someone's property because he is expected to have a shtar, but regarding produce, shtar la peri lo avdi inshi. People do not make shtaros for produce sales. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, Rabbi Bar Sharshan possessed the mashkon, which entitled him to its produce for a number of years to collect a debt. After the borrower died, a rumor emerged that the mashkon's term was over, yet he continued using the orphan's mashkon. He explained to Abai that the father owed him an additional debt, and he realized that if he would return the mashkon, he would have to swear to collect the second debt, like any collection from Yosomi. To avoid the shavu, he decided to hide the shtar of the mashkon and consume its produce until his debt was paid. Demigu de ibeina, for since if I had wanted to lie, aminu lekuchi biyadim ehemna, I could say I bought the land from their father, and I would be believed since I use the property for enough years to establish a chazaka. Ki amina de iskri zuzika baichut mehemnana. Therefore, if I say that you owe me money, I'll also be believed without requiring a shavu. Abai responded that since the land was rumored to belong to the Yosomim, he could not have claimed he bought it since he should have retained the shtar, and his migu is faulty. Point number two, a relative of Ravidi Bar Avin died and left a date palm. Ravidi said he was the closest relative and inherited the palm, but another man claimed he was the closest relative. Neither proved his claim, and the second person took control of the tree. Eventually, he admitted that Ravidi was the closer relative, and Rav Chisa put the tree in Ravidi's possession. Ravidi asked that the man should also return all the produce he had consumed until then. Rav Chisa said, "Zeu she'omim lev adam gadolu. This is the one about whom they say he's a great man. Aman kasamech mar, on whom does master base his right to the tree? Ahai, on this man who now admitted the tree is Rav Avin's? Hakamar dan makravnitve. But he claimed until now I'm the closer relative. His admission that you're the owner is considered like a mere gift and does not dictate the return of former produce." Abai and Ravi disagreed. Kevin de ode ode. Once he admitted that the tree is Ravidi's, he has admitted by extension that all the produce was also his and must return it. And point number three, an occupant brought witnesses to establish a chazaka, but they only testified that he ate the land's produce for 2 years. Nachman ruled, Hadra Arava Hadre Peri. The land returns to the former owner, and the produce also returns. since the chazak was not established, and we assume the land still belongs to its former owner, it emerges that the occupant consumed 2 years of produce, which was in his. Rav Zvid said that if the occupant would have claimed leperos yeridati, I went down to the field to consume its produce because I was entitled to it, meaning he purchased it, he is believed. This is based on Rav Yehuda's ruling that if one takes harvesting tools and declares he's going to harvest someone's dates because he bought them, he's bullied because a person is not so brazen as to harvest a palm, which isn't his. This is ineffective when claiming he purchased someone's property because he is expected to have a shtar, but regarding produce, shtar lepere lo avdinshi. People do not make shtaros for produce sales. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Lamed Gimel. And a standard Siman is a peg leg pirate, So here goes. The peg leg pirate who continued using land to feed his crew, which was a mashkum belonging to Yisomim after the loan term was over, in order to collect an additional debt, was shocked when one of the pirates admitted a palm tree he had claimed was his inheritance was actually not his, but wouldn't pay for the fruits he ate. And a third pirate lost his loot paying for fruits he ate when witnesses testified he was only there for 2 years, and he wasn't clever enough to say, I purchased the rights to the fruits, not the land. Once again, it's a motion. The peg leg pirate, that must be more in Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate who continued using land to feed his crew, which was a mashkon, belonging to Yisomim after the loan term was over, in order to collect an additional debt, which reminds us, Rabbi Rasharshim possessed a mashkon, which entitled him to its produce for a number of years to collect a debt. After the borrower died, a rumor emerged that the mashkon's term was over, yet he continued using the orphan's mashkon. He explained to Abaya that the father owed him an additional debt, and he realized that if he would return the mashkon, he would have to swear to collect the second debt like any collection from Yisomim. To avoid the shvu, he decided to hide the shtar in the mashkon and consume its produce until his debt was paid. Demiku debeina, for since if I had wanted to lie, I could say I bought the land from their father, and it would be believed since I used the property for enough years to establish a chazaka. So the peg-leg pirate who continued using land to feed his crew, which was a mashkon belonging to Yisomim after the loan term was over, in order to collect an additional debt, was shocked when one of the pirates admitted a palm tree he had claimed was his inheritance was actually not his, but wouldn't pay for the fruits he ate. Which reminds us, more discusses if someone took control of property claiming to be a closer relative and later admitted that it wasn't his, does he have to pay the rightful owner the produce that he consumed? So the peg-leg pirate who continued using land to feed his crew, which was a mashkon belonging to Yisomim after the loan term was over, in order to collect an additional debt, was shocked when one of the pirates admitted a palm tree he had claimed was his inheritance was actually not his, but wouldn't pay for the fruits he ate. And a third pirate lost his loot paying for fruits he ate when witnesses testified he was only there for 2 years, and he wasn't clever enough to say, I purchased the rights of the fruits, not the land. Which reminds us, an occupant brought witnesses to establish a chazak, but they only testified that he ate the land's produce for 2 years. Rav Nachman ruled, hadra arav, hadra peri. The land returns to the former owner, and the produce also returns. Since the chazak was not established, and we assume the land still belongs to its former owner, it emerges that the occupant consumed 2 years of produce, which was not his. Rav Zvid said that if the occupant would have claimed, leperos yeridati, I went down to the field to consume its produce because I was entitled to it because he purchased it, he is believed since a person is not so brazen as to harvest the palm, which isn't his. So once again, the peg-leg pirate who continued using land to feed his crew, which was a mashkon belonging to Yisomim after the loan term was over, in order to collect an additional debt, was shocked when one of the pirates admitted a palm tree he had claimed was his inheritance was actually not his, but wouldn't pay for the fruits he ate. And a third pirate lost his loot paying for fruits he ate when witnesses testified he was only there for 2 years, and he wasn't clever enough to say, I purchased the rights of the fruits, not the land. All right, so now it's time for four blabach hazara. Daf chavtes, so the simmer daf chavtes is a cot. So here goes. The man with a chazak of 3 years who couldn't find his shtar and said, I was careful to keep it under my cot. That must be more in Daf Chavtes. The man with a chazak of 3 years who couldn't find his shtar and said, I was careful to keep it under my cot for 3 years, which reminds us, Rava offers two explanations for the basis of a 3-year chazaka, but Abai rejects both. Finally, Rava explains, the first year after purchasing a property, a person is careful with the shtar. The second and third year, he's still careful with it. Longer than that, he's not careful with the shtar if his ownership wasn't challenged. Therefore, the new occupant is believed that he purchased the property and misplaced the shtar unless the previous owner challenged him during the 3 years. So the man with a chazak of 3 years who couldn't find his shtar and said, I was careful to keep it under my cot for 3 years, had his nosy neighbors testify that he was there continuously, by day and by night, which reminds us, Rav Huna ruled about a chazak of 3 years, but who shall call in Ritzufos? It is only effective if he used the property for 3 years consecutively. Although the Mishnah taught that 3 full years are required, that may have only excluded incomplete years, but Mufuzaro's 3 years scattered over a longer period may have also qualified, so Rav Huna taught otherwise. The Mishnah taught that a chazak for houses is established in 3 years, but since Adim would not know if the occupant remained there at night, how can a chazaka be established? Abai answered that the normal Adim to a house is a chazaka are neighbors, and neighbors certainly may know about daytime and nighttime usage. So the man with a chazaka of 3 years who couldn't find his shtar and said, I was careful to keep it under my cot for 3 years, had his nosy neighbors testify that he was there continuously, by day and by night, and was dismayed when Basin ruled that he had to prove the owner wasn't living in the back room, which reminds us, the Gemara records a case where one claimed to have occupied a house for 3 years, but the former owner responded, I was in the inner rooms of that house during the 3 years and would pass through the outer rooms where the occupant was, using the area together with him, and therefore didn't protest. The case was brought before Rav Nachman, and he told the occupant, go prove your exclusive use of the house by providing edus that you resided there alone for 3 years. Rav argued that the law should be, Hamotzi Mechavero Avaraya, the one seeking to exact payment from his fellow, the burden of proof is upon him. Rav holds that since the occupant provided testimony that he lived there for 3 years, we assume he did so alone and his chazak is established, and the former owner must provide proof to undermine it. Daf Lamed, so the Simmer Daf Lamed is a Molamed, a Rebbe. So here goes. The Rebbe, that must be learned off Lamed, Molamed. The Rebbe took his class on a Cheskas Abatim field trip and passed an owner of some land who was so preoccupied in his business for 30 days that he was unaware that someone was occupying his property, which reminds us, Rebbe ruled Avin Ish to Kotras Nyomi Tar Veshukah. A person often is preoccupied with the market for a full 30 days, and his claim is credible that the entire 30 days he was preoccupied and never discovered the person's occupancy on his land. So the Rebbe took his class on a Cheskas Abatim field trip and passed an owner of some land who was so preoccupied in his business for 30 days that he was unaware that someone was occupying his property, pointed out to his Talmidim that the man telling an owner, I purchased the land from someone who said he purchased it from you, wouldn't be successful in his claim, which reminds us, someone challenged a person occupying a property which was formerly his, and the occupant said, I purchased it from Pony who told me he purchased it from you. The former owner replied, do you not admit this land was once mine and you didn't purchase it from me, nor could you claim to have done so since you have no shtar or chazaka to support that claim. Go out of the property, you're not my litigant. Rav ruled that the original owner is correct. So the Rebbe took his class on a Cheskas Abatim field trip and passed an owner of some land who was so preoccupied in his business for 30 days that he was unaware that someone was occupying his property. Pointed out to his Talmidim that the man telling an owner, I purchased the land from someone who said he purchased it from you, wouldn't be successful in his claim. While property owner who said in front of witnesses that Pony should buy the land that someone else supposedly bought from him was tricking the man so he could easily retrieve it from him, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a case of a former owner encouraging a fraudulent purchase because it would be easier to collect it from the current occupant instead of from the person who stole his property. Daf Lamed Aleph, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Aleph relates to the law, and we use a judge. So here goes. The judge, that must be on Daf Lamed Aleph, the law. The judge had a tough day when a man who lived on a field for 3 years said he inherited it and tried to use a mali or shaker that he could have said, he bought it, which reminds us, two people disputed the ownership of a property, each one claiming Shalavosa, it was my forefather's property. Aiden testified that it belonged to one party's fathers, another Aiden testified the other party had used the land for 3 years of a chazaka. Rabba ruled, Mali Lashaker, what gain is there for the occupant to lie? If he had wanted to, he could have told the other litigant, I bought it from you and use it for the 3 years of a chazaka. Since he could have retained the property with his false claim, he's believed to say that it was his father's. Abai said to Rabba, Mali Lashaker, b'makam Aiden, b'lamrinan. We do not say to believe a litigant based on the argument of what gain is there for me to lie in the place of Adim contradicting his claim because it's known to be false. So the judge had a tough day when a man who lived on a field for 3 years said he inherited it and tried to use a malu shaka that he could have said he bought it. And then he switched to his claim to say it's true it was your father's, but I bought it from him, which reminds us, if the argument then told the other, yes, it's true that the land once belonged to your fathers, but I purchased it from them, and this that I told you was my father's, I meant that I was confident about its ownership as if it was my father's, not that they literally owned it. With this new claim, his chazaka would award him the property. Ula said toan v'chos v'toan, one may make a claim and change and make another claim to reinterpret his original statement against its apparent meaning, but the Nardin said he cannot. So the judge had a tough day when a man who lived on a field for 3 years said he inherited it and tried to use a malu l'shaker that he could have said he bought it. And then he switched his claim to say, it's true, it was your father's, but I bought it from him. And then had a rule of contradicting witnesses who disqualify themselves only for the contradicted testimony or for the entire edus, which reminds us there's a malchus with edus mucheshes, contradictory testimony, whether the edim are disqualified only for the contradicted part or for the entire edus. Daf Lamed Beis. So the symbol for Daf Lamed Beis is a lab. So here goes. The scientist in the lab, that must be more on Daf Lamed Beis. The scientist in the lab studying the emotional impact on the Kohen, who was demoted to Chal status and then reinstated based on Eidachot, and then demoted again and then reinstated, which reminds us in a Mishnah Tanaim argue Malin al Kahuna opi Eidachot. We raise someone to the Kahuna based on one witness's testimony, but two Tanaim appear to rule identically that we do. The Gemara explains that they argue where someone was reputed as a Kohen, but a rumor emerged that he was a Chalal. After he was demoted from Kahuna, a witness testified that he was a valid Kohen, and he was reinstated. Later, two witnesses testified he was a Chalal, and he was again demoted. Finally, one more witness testified he was a valid Kohen. Rav Ashi explains that all Tanaim are unconcerned about Zilus de Beidina for reinstating him, but argue about Litzar of Edus combining testimonies of two witnesses who testified separately. So the scientists in the lab studying the emotional impact on the Kohen, who was demoted to Chalal status and then reinstated based on Eidachot, and then demoted again and then reinstated, who tested if Edus can be combined with one aid testifying one day, and the second aid the next day, which reminds us in a brace that the Tanakhama says, Lom ein Edus mitzarefes ad shiyu shnein ka'echot. Witnesses' testimony can never be combined unless they both see the event together, meaning the same event. But if one testifies to seeing a loan and the other testifies that the borrower admitted owing money to the lender, their testimony cannot be combined. Rav Yeshua ben Karcha says, Afil bezeh kazeh, their testimony is combined even if they testify about separate events, one after the other. So the scientists in the lab studying the emotional impact on a Kohen who was demoted to Chal status and then reinstated based on Eidachot and then demoted again and then reinstated, who tested if Eidus can be combined with one Eid testifying one day and the second Eid the next day, were surprised when an occupant of some land who presented a shtar to its former owner whispered to one of the scientists that in fact it was a forged shtar, but originally he had a legitimate shtar, but lost it, which reminds us, an occupant of land was challenged by its former owner and responded, I bought it from you, and here is the shtar of the sale. The first owner protested, it's a forged shtar. The occupant leaned over to rub at the judge and whispered, yes, it's a forged shtar. However, I originally had a legitimate shtar, but lost it, so I thought, I'll take this false shtar in my hand to have something to support my claim. Rabba ruled, Malo Lashaker, why would he lie? Had he insisted that the shtar he held was valid, he would have been believed. Therefore, he's believed that he initially had a valid shtar and lost it. Rav Yosef disagreed since Rabba was basing his ruling on a worthless shtar. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do we learn that neighbors certainly may know about daytime and nighttime usage regarding the need for the property to be used consecutively? That's on Duff. Chav test. Good number two, which stuff to be machok is if someone admitted property wasn't his, whether he must pay the rightful owner for consuming the produce? That's on Duff. Lamed Gimel. Good number three, which stuff we have the case where one admitted he did not inherit the land, but said he meant that he was confident it was his as if he inherited it? That's on Duff. Lamed Aleph. Good number four, which of the one of Adam testified that an occupant only had 2 years of consumption? He asked to return the land and the produce? That's on Duff. Lamed Gimel. Good number five, which stuff to discuss whether we can combine witnesses who witnessed separate events or testified separately? That's on Duff. Lamed Beis. Good number six. Which of the when a chazaka property is established by using it unchallenged for 3 years from day to day? That's on Duff. Chav Ches. Good number seven. Which stuff to a case of one leveraging a mashkon to collect another debt with a migu that he could have said he bought the field? That's on Duff. Lamed Gimel. Good number eight. Which stuff to a case where someone said, I purchased the property from someone who said he purchased it from you? That's on Duff. Lamed. Good number nine. Which stuff do we discuss where to cut tree branches which extend into Rosh Hashanah? That's on Duff. Chav Zayin. Good number ten. Which stuff do we discuss whether we say Malo Shankar in a case where someone admitted he used a forged shtar because he couldn't find his original one? That's on Duff. Lamed Beis. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.